I'm a soldier for Christ.
I'm a soldier for Christ.
I'm a soldier.
No, they'll never take us under, because we're bringing truth like thunder. Raining on your speakers like a ton of bricks. Hold the cross high, cause we're Catholics. Fight the good fight with the truth. Stand tall with the truth. I'm a warrior for Christ. I'm in love with the truth. Love God, save souls, slay error.
Go stronger.
Right, grow stronger with Jesus.
Amen.
Only with Jesus, prayer, faith, and the sacraments can you grow stronger. Go stronger, grow stronger, as our bumper say. Terry, are you on duty, sir?
I'm on duty, sir, reporting for duty to help people fall deeper in love with Jesus Christ and his bride, the church.
A lot of stuff to talk about
Absolutely.
Today.
Absolutely.
But let's start off with the top, soul food section.
Top of the food chain. Yes, let's get the Bible open. This is what we do for those who are brand new. I was out this weekend. I introduced some people to Virgin Most Powerful Radio, and I said, we do the gospel of the day every single day. And so, Jesse, can you give us the reading for today's gospel?
Yeah, I think I got some new listeners in Alabama as well, Terry.
Good.
This weekend at a parish in Alabama. And, I was passing out those cards like crazy.
Good man.
Okay. Reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark, chapter 6, verse 53 to 56. Very short, it says this. After making the crossing to the other side of the sea, Jesus and his disciples came to land at Gennesaret and tied up there. That means that they were in a boat. So where is Gennesaret? According to this, the story as we're reading it here, it's a village on the western shore of the Sea of Galilee. It says, as they were leaving the boat, people immediately recognized him. They scurried about the surrounding country and began to bring in the sick on mats to wherever they heard he was. Whatever villages or towns or countryside he entered, they laid the sick in the marketplaces and begged him that they might touch only the tassel on his cloak, and as many as touched it were healed. The gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Something very interesting about this, the whole tassel here. The tassels, these are something that the Jews used to wear on the fringe of their garment, on the very bottom, okay? And this was actually a tradition that Moses gave the Israelites to wear tassels on their clothing as visible reminders of God's commandments. And Jesus, you'll find that he often, as a good Jew, follow the tradition of Moses in this regard, having these fringed tassels at the end of his garment. But you'll see, this is where the whole theology of sacramentals and relics comes in. Jesus will often make use of tangible things that you can touch, matter like spit or clay or the tassels on his clothing or water or oil. And he'll use these things either as channels of actual grace, sanctifying grace, or even his healing power. And this way, Jesus is already preparing all of us for the way of the seven sacraments of the new covenant, which is going to heal the body, but more important than the body, the soul as well, as visible instruments of God's grace. Terry?
Well said, Jesse, and that's a short gospel, but again, the healing power of confession comes to my mind, Jesse.
Yep.
We can get the same thing by going. Hey, I want everybody to go all aboard on the Sheen train. Here it comes. Full sheen ahead. We have a section at the end, the fourth section of our show, going to be talking about Bishop Sheen. But this is a statement he said years ago, and it's so true today, Jesse. And you quoted this all your life as you were proclaiming the gospel in apologetics. Bishop Sheen said, there are not more than 100 people in the world who truly hate the Catholic Church, but there are millions who hate what they perceive to be the Catholic Church. Jesse, has that happened to you over and over again? People coming to you and saying, hey, I don't like the Catholic Church teaching on X, Y, and Z. And you go, that's not what we teach, brother. Has that happened, Jess?
All the time.
Yep.
All the time.
Yep.
That's why, by the way, Terry, just something. You know, I'd say for about 15 years, I've been gathering questions from Protestants.
Sure.
And I answer them, and then I just save it somewhere in my computer.
Yep.
Well, what I finally did, I probably got about hundreds of questions that Protestants have asked me in 15 years on email.
Yep.
And I say, you know what?
Good.
this ain't doing me anything good by being here on my computer. So what I did,
good, Jesse,
is if you go to my webpage,
yes,
on the front page, if you says it says Jesse Romero's free essays, just click on a document called A Catholic, that's me, replies to Protestant questions for the last 15 years. Every single question that I've been asked, I answer with the Bible, and I broke it down into sections. There are questions on Mary, the papacy, sacraments, relics, etc. I broke it down to make it very easy. So if you want a free apologetics book that I've been putting together for the last 15 years, just go to my website, jesseromero.com. It'll be your one-stop shop for every question that your Protestant family asks you.
Awesome. Harry. Jesse, today's feast day is St. Scholastica. She's a virgin. She was the twin sister of St. Benedict. Jess, when I went to Subiaco, where Benedict founded his monastery years ago, I saw where the graves of his sister and Benedict are at. And this is kind of an interesting thought. During World War II, we bombed that particular place. And the bomb that landed right next to the the grave site, the bomb didn't go off. It was a bad bomb. So I thought that was interesting. And here's another thing about questions and answers about her. Maybe you didn't know this. Maybe you do. The sister, Saint Scholastica, she wanted to ask Benedict questions about the spiritual life, and she didn't want to leave. She didn't want her brother to leave. She wanted to spend the whole night talking on spiritual matters. And he said, "No, I gotta go, man. Sis, I got to go back to the monastery." So she prayed that inclement weather would hold him back. So guess what happened? Big storm came. And guess what? Benedict sat there for the whole night talking to his sister on the spiritual life. I say that because, Jesse, I've been with you at conferences. I've seen people staying till the wee hours of the morning, and you're sitting there with your Bible in one hand, and you're explaining different aspects of the Catholic faith. So nothing new. It's still going on today. People have questions, and we have answers.
Amen. Terry, also another thing that I'd like to mention.
Yeah, tell us.
I've got an email. Somebody was adamantly upset with me because I wrote a book called Knocked Off the Donkey.
That's okay.
And I can't even read what he said because it's not charitable. In a nice way, he just said, "Jesse Romero is absolutely crazy. He doesn't know what he's talking about." And apparently he took my book and just ripped it into shreds as kind of a symbolic
gesture. I'm honored.
Yeah. So in case you're wondering, what did he rip? I did write a book called Knocked Off the Donkey where I wrote about I'm going to show it right here. I'm going to put it here on the camera. It's kind of my odyssey. We all go through an odyssey, you know, as when you're a low-information Catholic, you probably do things that you realize like, wow, I didn't know that was wrong till somebody points it to your attention, till you get a magisterial teaching, a Bible verse, till you hear something from sacred tradition. And so I didn't really know how to vote, Terry, years ago.
Oh, yeah.
And then little by little, this issue about things that are primary, secondary, negotiable, non-negotiable started being explained to me by great Catholic minds. And I said, oh, boy, I got moral clarity now. I totally get it. Yeah. Killing a baby is not the same thing as building a nuclear power plant. Okay? They're not the same thing. And so as a result of that, I wrote a book because a lot of Mexican Catholics, and I'm Mexican-American, okay?
Yep.
They just don't. They've never been taught how to vote through no fault of their own. They're just told by the Spanish media and Spanish television how to vote. And they basically vote for one party. And so at this point, I wrote a book just share, especially focusing on Hispanic, the largest growing population in the country
by far.
I was in Birmingham, Alabama. Most of the people that were attending are Mexicans. Am I talking about what?
Down in the South?
Birmingham, Alabama.
Oh, my God.
And the only ones that had any babies were the Mexicans, the Hispanic family. So that's why I wrote this book targeting them and trying to teach them how to think like a Catholic and not like a pagan. Because, Terry, they're being deceived.
Well, that's why
by politicians.
But your book is essential reading. Jesse, you're going to get some people who are going to dislike it. But on the other hand, I would say there's 100 people who love the book and say, wow, you opened my eyes to know where to go with my voting mind as a Catholic. So, you know, you're going to get people who are going to be like that. But you know what? That's a small percentage because most people see the truth and it's the truth that sets you free. And that's not your personal opinion, Jesse. You give documentation in that book to show how you line up the platforms of each party, scripture,
magisterial
teaching, all that. It's all there.
Papal statements, USCCB documents.
Yeah, it's all there.
Prior magisterial statements.
Yep.
Party platform comparison.
Yes, it's all there.
Yeah.
It's a one-stop shop. Get the book at jesseromero.com. Jesse, when we come back, this is my favorite story. Years ago, when I give talks on the Eucharist, I use this as an example of what Eucharistic adoration can do to turn a parish around, to turn a country around, wow, to turn the world around. You won't want to miss this story about Eucharistic adoration and the tie-in regarding crime reduction. Are you kidding me? The police force should know all about this because they're always out to try and cut the crime rate down. Well, the Catholic Church has the answer. And when we come back, we'll give that to you and much, much more. Jess, I want to remind everybody, Father Joe Fessio is coming to town a couple weeks for the Adoramus Conference. It's the 15th of March, and we've got a great lineup of Dr. Anthony Lillis and others are going to be there to help people understand the liturgy. Jess, you wrote a document on that, and people can still get that by going to jesseromero.com.
Free download is on the front page.
That's right.
It's called My Reflections on the Two Forms of the Roman Rite.
There you go. And if you want to get to the conference, which I hope you can because I'll be there, go to virginmostpowerfulradio.org. And you can register that way. Or if you just want to call us, we're here. Call us at 877-526-2151. Up next, the source and summit of the Christian life, the Holy Eucharist, and how Eucharistic adoration can convert a world to Jesus Christ and his bride, the church, and cut your crime rate in your town. You want to know more about that? Get yourself a cup of coffee during the break. And sit down and listen to this because it's a story you're going to share with your friends and family forever. We'll be right back. We finally did it. We have a Catholic Mental Health Conference on April 25th, 2020, here at the Sacred Heart Chapel with Dr. Luis Sandoval. He's going to be speaking on the basics of mental illness versus what we consider normal. Number one, he's going to go on the basics of mental illness versus what we consider normal. Second hour, depression, anxiety versus oppression and obsession. The third hour, bipolar disorders. Oh my gosh, infestation and possession. He's going to talk on mental health with the spiritual aspect. Number four talk will be on drug use, altered mental status versus demonic influence. I want to hear that talk. I hope you do too. Go to virginmostpowerfulradio.org or call us at 877-526-2151. The date is April 25th, 2020. Be there by calling 877-526-2151. God bless you.
Genesis 1:27 says, God created man in his own image. Male and female he created them. According to Pope St. John the 23rd, it is not true that some human beings are by nature superior and others inferior. All human beings are equal in their natural dignity. May God help us to look upon everyone as a person created in his image and likeness and treat everyone the same without favoritism or prejudice.
This is Terry Barber. I want to thank you for your support here at Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Here's an easy way to do it. If you're going to sell or buy a house, call Real Estate for Life, 877-543-3871, because they're going to get you a Christ-centered agent to purchase your home or to sell your home. And at the close of escrow, a portion of his commission goes right back to Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Call 877-543-3871. Thank you so much for your support.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Rated PG, praise God. Did you know that Eucharistic adoration reduces crime? Terry, you want to share?
No, well, I'm so excited about this. I will share, Jesse, because This just fits right into what we've been saying, most of our apostolic teachings, that this de-Eucharization going on in the church where people don't reverence.
By design.
And the comment that less Jesus is adored in the Blessed Sacrament, the more present the powerful Satan becomes. Exorcists have been saying that for a long time. Well, here's what happened.
And you just quoted St. Julian Emmerich,
known
as the Apostle of Eucharistic Devotion. Quote that again.
That quote is, the less Jesus is adored in the Blessed Sacrament, the more present and powerful Satan becomes. Jesse, this is just, why do you think your Jesus 911 that it was on just before us was talking so powerful about the spiritual life of the demonic, because it's so powerful.
Now, and that's why that show's such a hit, because people around the country are saying, you're the only Catholic about this on radio.
Yep, and I want to say, for people who don't know about it, if you get our app, go to virginmostpowerfulradio.org, you can get a free app and listen to that show. It's powerful. But Jesse, the Monsignor, Anthony Wazzel, he's the associate of the apostolate for Perpetual Eucharistic Adoration, who hosted a perpetual adoration in a parish in Philadelphia, for almost 30 years. He says this, that he's quoting St. Peter Julian Emmerich. He said, we seniors have lived to see the truth of what St. Emmerich said. Since the 1960s and the early 70s, we've seen a sharp decline in Eucharistic adoration and an increase in violence in our streets, even our schools. Prior to those years, the churches were full of people, right? We had 75% of the people coming to church, attending 40-hour devotions. I remember that, Jesse. I used to attend the 40-hour devotions in my parish in the late 60s, early 70s. All parishes had Corpus Christi processions. All parishioners participated in these processions. Not anymore. Now, he also claims this, that with the lessening of Eucharistic adoration, crimes have greatly increased because Satan becomes more present and powerful, as the saint told us. As an example, he points to the many innocent children being shot and killed in our schools, as well as countless killed in abortion. Jesse, go on and tell us what's going on in Mexico.
It goes on to say in the article about our first two parents, Adam and Eve.
Yep.
They found out the hard way
that
when God is kicked out of a location, something immediately fills a spiritual void to take his place. And what's that? Evil. Satan.
You got it.
Monsignor Wassel, he said, since the decline of Eucharistic adoration, the Supreme Court has outlawed prayer in our schools.
Yep.
And God has been expelled.
That's right.
And by the way, Terry, that's by design by one political party.
We know which one that is.
Yeah, we all know which one.
Yep.
No need to mention who they are. You know who they are.
Yeah, they're on the left.
Yep. Monsignor Wassel says, when the same court legalized abortion, the court also aborted God out of our country, and Satan is taking control of our nation. There's that domino effect that continues.
This is powerful,
now,
Jesse.
Yeah. Let me just mention one thing. I'm going to say here that, for example, where I'm at in the Diocese of Phoenix, here's something interesting to prove this whole connection.
Sure.
On the ground, boots on the ground.
Yeah.
Here in the Diocese of Phoenix, I read an article about 6 months ago that there are less abortions in the state of Arizona than anywhere else per capita.
Wow. Okay?
Now, it's not a coincidence, because since Bishop Thomas Olmsted came here some 16 years ago, he's pushed Eucharistic adoration chapels like nobody else, and over 50% of the parishes, I'd say about 60% of the parishes, have 24-hour perpetual adoration. So it doesn't surprise me that this is a state where there's less abortions, because I dare say, I think this is the diocese that has more adoration chapels, more Catholics praying round the clock. And by the way, you know, in Vatican II, call this the active participation in the sacred liturgy. You know what? You want active participation? Sign up and commit yourself to Eucharistic adoration. That's active participation against the culture of death.
Amen to that. And Jesse, Dr. Bernard Nathanson, I can say my friend, who I got arrested with doing with the pro-life work many years ago, he's a renowned New York abortionist. Rest in peace. Before his conversion to the Catholic faith, he lamented that if Catholics were truly Catholic, our abortion society would not exist. You see, he counted on low information Catholics when he put forth the abortion laws, and he got it. People just sat on their hands. Now, after he became Catholic, Nathanson said that if we had done enough, we have done enough, abortion clinics would not have been opened. He's telling us we need all of our Catholic people to make holy hours of adoration, and everybody saying the daily rosary and the chaplet of divine mercy. Jesse, he sounds like you. Bernard Nathanson is saying exactly what we say on Virgin Most Powerful Radio. And it's just interesting. Continue, Jess.
Terry, and I just wonder that if when God looks down from heaven, what happened here in America.
Yes.
And on Judgment Day, I'm just going to be honest with you.
Yep.
I wonder who's going to be held more responsible for Roe versus Wade having passed. I wonder if lay people are going to be held more responsible or if the bishops are going to be more responsible. I just throw that out there because the bishops are supposed to guard us from the wolves.
That's their job description.
And there's many wolves amongst these politicians that call themselves Catholics, and it's the shepherds who are supposed to confront these wolves that are supposed to be in their flock. And I just have to say, in my opinion, it hasn't been done in most places. Okay, the article goes on to say this. Monsignor Wassel says, to outlaw abortion depends primarily on us Catholics because our Protestant brothers and sisters do not have the Eucharist to adore and have no devotion to the Blessed Mother, the Rosary, or the Chaplet of Divine Mercy. In other words, Protestant prayer power is much weaker because they don't have the fullness of truth or the fullness of grace.
That's just a fact.
Yeah. In 2008 and 10, to show you the power of adoration, Ciudad Juarez in northern Mexico was listed as one of the most dangerous cities in the world. Drug violence, gang violence, murder rates were sky high.
Yep.
And the police could do little about it. Well, in 2013, Eucharistic adoration started opening up in the city. They opened up a perpetual adoration chapel through Catholic missionaries, and the crime rates began to plunge shortly thereafter.
Praise God.
Now, right now, the city's considered safer than many American cities. And this was because of one priest. His name is Father Patrico Heilman, not to be confused with Father Heilman from Madison.
Right.
He's another one. But Father Patrico Heilman, he believes that the drastic change in Ciudad Juarez is due to Eucharistic adoration because he says, when a parish adores God day and night, the city is transformed. And in fact, for the first 2 months of Eucharistic adoration in 2013 in Ciudad Juarez, no deaths were recorded in Juarez.
Wow.
And the prosecuting attorney for the city of Juarez, apparently he concurred. He said this, quote, there's no place in the world that has managed to turn itself around so quickly. The prosecutor said, when missionaries opened the first perpetual adoration chapel in Juarez in 2013.
That's right.
40 people a day were dying because two drug gangs were fighting over the city to move drugs into the U.S. There was an ongoing drug war between these two rival gangs. One included a group of soldiers, and the other one was protected by the police. There seemed to be no end in sight. Desperate, one of the parishes asked the missionaries to open a perpetual adoration chapel because, as the locals feared, they said, only Jesus is going to save us from this.
Jesse, I love the next part because you're a policeman background. Listen to this, folks.
When some of the mob soldiers, Terry.
Yeah, this is awesome.
They were some of the mob soldiers that were part of the rival gang. Yep. They saw six women praying in the newly established Adoration Chapel. One of them fell down holding his gun.
Yep.
And he began crying in front of Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament.
Wow.
And some of the other gang members asked the women in the chapel, do you think you're protecting us? The woman told them, we're praying for you 24 hours a day. And I repeat, for the first 2 months in Ciudad Juarez of Eucharistic adoration, no deaths were recorded in Ciudad Juarez.
Jesse, that is such a great story to repeat. And you know what's interesting, Jesse? In the article, it talks about a Baylor University study of more than 15,000 people from ages 18 to 28. And it concludes that while young adults who consider themselves religious were less likely than others to commit violent or property crimes, those who claim to be spiritual but not religious, not being part of an organized religion, were more likely to engage in both types of criminal activity. Jesse, as a cop, we'll continue, but does that fit with you when you were on the beat? Would you find people who are adoring Jesus and the Blessed Sacrament coming out of church and stealing cars and, you know, committing crimes? Or on the other hand, did you find people who were in love with Jesus Christ, they weren't committing the crimes? What was your personal experience of over 20 years on the beat?
Every beat cop will tell you that neighborhoods that have a high rate of people going to church on Sundays, Catholic, Protestant, Mormon, whatever, there's a reduction in violence. And neighborhoods where people are unchurched and there's a low attendance, you'll find there's a higher violent crime rate. In fact, you could even test case. I moved over here, Terry, to a suburb of Phoenix.
Yes.
It's probably one of the safest suburbs on planet Earth. In fact, I almost feel like a wimp living here, to be honest with you, okay? I'm not kidding you, okay?
Really?
Because it's full. Now, I hate to say this, but it's true. It's Mormon country where I live, okay? It's replete with Mormons. And Terry, though their theology is completely off the rails, but one of the things that they do have is a sense of mission, the sense of family, the sense of staying together, married for eternity, and the sense of going to their stakes and wards on Sunday.
Yeah.
And so I'm going to tell you, I live probably one of the safest cities in the Southwest, and because most of the people here go to some type of service on Sundays.
Jesse, the final thought I want to say, in a world where there is so much noise, so much bewilderment, there is a need for silent adoration of Jesus concealed in the host. Be perseverant in prayer and adoration and teach it to the faithful. It's a source of comfort and light, particularly to those who are suffering. So here's the broader message. We say it at the end of every show, Eucharistic adoration. I say shut the radio off, shut TVs off, go and spend quiet time because God cannot speak to you in noise. As a matter of fact, the book I have in my hands, The Day Is Now Far Spent, Cardinal Seurat talks a whole section on the problem of noise in our culture. So what's a better place? Visit Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament. He will give you the answers to life and give you the peace that the whole world is looking for. And this is what's so exciting about Eucharistic adoration, Jesse, that this is a demonstration of people putting their faith into action, okay? By adoring Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament, and look at the fruits from adoration. That's fantastic.
Right. Terry, and Pope Benedict, he actually broke down the word adoration. It's a Latin word, ad, second word, oratio, which actually means in Latin, mouth to mouth.
Wow, I didn't know that.
So yeah, this is from Pope Benedict. So in other words, in adoration, guess what's happening? God is giving us mouth to mouth resuscitation. God is filling our soul.
That's great.
Like a flat tire that seems to leak God's presence because of our sins. In adoration, our soul, much like a tire tube, is getting filled with the oxygen of God's life.
Awesome. Up next, Catholic bishops tell Catholics to vote pro-life. Wow, let's talk about that.
This is Matthew Arnold for Virgin Most Powerful Radio. This March, VMPR, in association with the Catholic Resource Center, will be hosting a special conference for the Adoremus Society. Adoremus at the Triduum, a conference on the spirituality of the Triduum liturgies, featuring speakers Father Joseph Fessio, Dr. Anthony Lillis, and Christopher Carstens, addressing such topics as developing a liturgical spirituality, the spirituality of Holy Thursday, the spirituality of Good Friday, and the spirituality of the Paschal Vigil and Easter season. It all takes place March 14, 2020, at the historic Sacred Heart Chapel at 381 West Center Street, Covina, California, 91723. You can register online at vmpr.org or call now at 877-526-2151 to reserve your seat today for Adoremus at the Triduum.
This is Terry Barber. I want to thank you for supporting Virgin Most Powerful Radio. And here's an easy way to support us by going to smile.amazon.com and type in Catholic Resource Center or Virgin Most Powerful Radio. And when you log in your Amazon account and you purchase products, a portion of it will go right back in supporting Virgin Most Powerful Radio. And it doesn't cost you a dime. I want to thank you ahead of time. because that supports us year-round. May God bless you and your family. This is Terry Barber. I want to thank you for your support here at Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Here's an easy way to do it. If you're going to sell or buy a house, call Real Estate for Life, 877-543-3871, because they're going to get you a Christ-centered agent to purchase your home or to sell your home. And at the close of escrow, a portion of his commission goes right back to Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Call 877-543-3871. Thank you so much for your support.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Can you believe this? That the Akita Japan prophecy is being played out right now. What do I mean by that? Our Lady of Akita, Japan, in 1973 told us that we would see bishops opposing bishops. And I say that because amongst the U.S. bishops, it pains me to admit.
They're not all in the same page.
That we have some dissenters.
That's right.
From the perennial teachings of the church abortion.
Mm-hmm.
I've got an article here. It says San Diego Bishop says climate change death toll is larger than abortion. Which is categorically not true.
No.
Bishop, San Diego Bishop Robert McElroy, who insisted that Catholics must not be single issue voters. I disagree, Terry. I'll tell you why. If I lived 150 years ago and there was a candidate that was lined up with me on all issues, except that he was for slavery, but everything else lined up, I'd say, wait a minute. I don't care if I agree with you on everything. You're pro-slavery. That's evil. That single issue would have disqualified my vote.
Of course.
And so the article says, playing his part to influence the Catholic vote in the upcoming California presidential primaries, Bishop McElroy claimed both abortion and climate change are core life issues.
Unbelievable.
While alleging the latter ends more human beings' lives. Well, Terry, that's not part of the non-negotiables. Those are part of what we call the prudential judgments of the church. Issues on the climate, ecology, issues on recycling. Those are prudential issues that the church sometimes weighs in on. Those issues are not the life and death issues that are called intrinsically evil and disordered. What do you say?
Well, I say the same thing, but Jesse, we played his comments back in June at the Bishop's Conference, and Archbishop Chaput put him in place, and so did Bishop Strickland, because he tried to tell the bishops that this was Pope Francis's position. And they all said, you're full of baloney. And I think they were being nice to him. But the point of it was, we saw the friction in the bishops' conference. There are many bishops who don't agree with the perennial teachings of the church. That's why, Jesse, we need to pray for our leaders in our church. I say this all the time. We need to pray because they need our prayers, especially those bishops who are mixed up. I'm giving the guy the benefit of the doubt. I hope he's just mixed up, because what he's saying is not what the Catholic Church teaches. And it's unfortunate that he's a bishop, because he's supposed to safeguard the faith and pass it on, and that's not what he's doing. So he's right down in San Diego in my backyard, and right up north, the bishop of our diocese of Los Angeles, Bishop Gomez, has said just the opposite as the president of the Bishop's Conference. So they're making their statement as a Bishop's Conference, saying that abortion is the number one cause. But think about it. If abortion isn't the cause, what other rights are you going to have, Jesse, if you can't have the right to life? The idea of plastic bottles and the, you know, all that stuff, that's not even going to come to be, because they're not going to be here. So you got to think about this, you know, with the logic. The logic is, without life, there are no other rights.
Terry, but here's what I hate to say, but it's just a fact. Here's where Bishop McElroy is confusing people, because what he's saying in this article, he's saying, the global warming and climate change is going to kill more people than abortion.
Potentially,
So that's where he's going.
Yeah.
Potentially, right?
Yeah.
And so we have to address that first, because that's going to be more dangerous than abortion. That's his argument, Terry. That's a slippery argument. People aren't buying it. In fact, people that were there, the article says, They were very disappointed.
Of course they were.
In his presentation, very disappointed. People were saying, I wish he would have spoken about the fact that, you know, Planned Parenthood has offices in L.A. County schools. They want to give our children abortions and contraceptions without notifying the parents. I wish he would have talked about the way the government in California is undermining children's rights, transgender bathroom laws, sex reassignment surgeries. I wanted to hear his comments on those issues that affect families. One person says here in the article, I didn't want to hear about climate change. Children are more important. So, Terry, most of the people there, they're pretty sharp. And you know what? They knew that this was basically a speech that was influenced more by politics than the Word of God and the sacred perennial teachings of the church.
Well, and Jesse, I want to see a bishop do what he's supposed to do, help us get to heaven. You know, this idea of a prelate, whether it's a priest or whoever in our church, telling us that, you know, we have to have climate change is so important that we've got to make sure that we don't, you know, we recycle, we do this. You see, his breaths of air on that are meaningless, okay? I want him to teach me about Jesus Christ, the Ten Commandments, the sacraments. How do I get to heaven? This, you know, who can talk about climate change, Jess? The politicians. Okay, they can bring all this up to that. That's their job. Okay, right. I get it. But you know what?
And
I don't see a role in it.
Let scientists argue this issue.
Yes, but I don't see a role of the clergy coming up and putting out their efforts and their time to talk about climate change when it's not even proven, Jesse. Okay,
exactly.
This is not
unsettled science.
It is. Spend your time teaching. Go hear confessions. Say mass. Get us to pray more. Teach us about Jesus. That's all I'm saying. I know this sounds like I'm being critical, and you know why? I am, because I'm tired of having the bishops forget about their role as shepherds in getting me to heaven. Please teach
Terry,
about
we're
Jesus.
Just invoking Canon 212, paragraph 907 of the Catechism.
That's
says
right.
Lay people
have, a right.
have the right and obligation to confront their sacred pastor.
And I'm confronting them.
And that's what we're doing. And we have, and also the catechism says we have the right to make it known to other lay faithful when these things are potentially dangerous to the little ones, Terry. This is going to scandalize Catholics that are just coming into the church and they see this. They're going to say, oh, I didn't know that global warming, unsettled science, is the same as abortion. They're on an equal playing field. Yeah. Terry, because remember, you have a lot of little ones, Catholics, neophytes.
That's right.
That. They don't cut their teeth on this stuff like you and you and I do all
I
day.
Right.
They're going to listen to what a bishop says, and they're going to take this away, and they're going to malform their conscience.
Jesse, I'll just say it this way. I've been around 40 years in the apostolate. I've met many bishops. I've met many priests all my life. And in my own diocese of Los Angeles, in my lifetime, three of the bishops, two of them became homosexuals and left, and they were friends of mine, okay, but I didn't know they were living a double life. The other one had a family on the side, and all three of them left where were defunct. And so here's my point.
One of the bishops died of AIDS, too.
That's right. I have great respect for the office, but you know what I don't have respect for? When the bishop doesn't teach what the Catholic Church teaches, and when his example is poor. And so why do I every Thursday night pray before the Blessed Sacrament 2 hours? We want to join us here at the Sacred Heart Chapel to pray for our priests and our bishops, because I'm telling you, they've been mixed up in things that have nothing to do with getting me to heaven. So I want to just ask again, please teach me the fundamentals of falling in deeper love with Jesus Christ and his bride, the church. I don't want to hear the issue of bottle, you know, saving the planet, because that I want to save my soul. That's what I want to do.
We have to be more concerned with instead of the pollution in the environment.
What about
with the pollution in the soul?
Well said.
That's what we have to be more concerned with. And I'll tell you, Terry, it's a good sign is that there's many Catholic bishops. It looks like the majority.
Yes,
they're slamming the Democrat presidential candidate
as they should.
Saying, quote, all of them are pro-abortion.
Just the facts.
And probably the one that's who's the strongest voice in this is Bishop Thomas Tobin.
Yes.
He's from Rhode Island.
Yeah, Rhode Island, yeah.
And he's joined a crowd of voices in questioning the party's allegiance to the abortion industry rather than its own voters. And he says, as the presidential primary shifts to New England, it is sad to note that all the major Democrat candidates are pro-abortion, supporting even partial birth abortion. And so, again, it's good to see a lot of the bishops, the majority,
yes,
that are collectively raising their voice, and they're saying, in fact, it says this week the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops also released a series of videos,
yep,
to encourage Catholics to vote pro-life. The bishops urge voters to make protections for unborn babies a preeminent priority,
well said,
at the voting booth this fall. Now, I'm sure Bishop McElroy, he is a minority position in this, and so is Cardinal Supich or Kupich.
Yep, yep.
They're a minority position. They're outnumbered. Most of the bishops are saying, no, guys, sorry, we disagree. The perennial teachings of the church tell us that this is the preeminent position of our day, much like slavery was the preeminent position 150 years ago.
Well said. And just think about this, Jesse. Recently, more than 200 Republican lawmakers urged the U.S. Supreme Court to reconsider Roe versus Wade. And I got to tell you, Jess, we just finished last week with President Trump's impeachment trial. And I'm telling you, a lot of people do not want to see Trump again because they fear just what the bishops are asking to do, and that is to look at Roe versus Wade and get rid of it so that we will not be killing unborn babies in America. And that's scary for the left. And I'm going to say one more.
The U.S. Supreme Court, yeah, is the golden calf.
That's right, Jesse.
For the left.
Yeah, and so who's going
to
pick the next couple
of
judges?
It's about to be smashed.
Yeah, but that's the question. Who's going to pick the next two judges? Well, if you vote for the Democratic Party, then you're voting for what they have on their policy. Their platform.
Two more, Ruth Bader Ginsburg. Yeah. And
you will be held accountable, just like I will, for voting for a pro-life candidate, because that's the way we need to do. But here's the bottom line. We're in a battle right now. We're 10 months away from an election, and I want to encourage Catholics to have high information on this. That's why we're giving this to you. Go to Priest for Life. Father Frank Pavone was on last Monday with us, showing us how do you vote as a Catholic. And don't give me the baloney that you want to vote because your parents voted a certain way. That doesn't hold water, Jess Romero. Come on, give me a break.
Terry, we've got another article here. I like it. It says, very positive, Catholic bishops,
yeah,
tell Catholics to vote pro-life.
Thank you.
It's not Terry Barber. It's not just... We're quoting the majority of the USCCB.
I love it.
You know, except for
good job,
Kupich and
a handful,
and McElroy, a handful.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it says Catholic bishops, USCCB tell Catholics to vote pro-life first to stop the threat of abortion, and the Catholic bishops are urging voters to make protections for unborn babies. There, here's the word again: a preeminent priority at the voting booth this fall.
Wow!
And so, the battle's on, Terry.
It is,
and,
man.
Thanks be to God that there's more people in the Catholic faith on the culture of life than on the culture of death.
In our next segment, why the world needs Archbishop Sheen. What? Yes! I can't wait. When we get back from the break, we'll show you some things about Bishop Sheen and his work in evangelization. This is Terry Barber with the Terry and Jesse Show. I'm here with Gil Olivetti. He is the president of the Catholic Men's Fellowship of California. Gil, we got a men's conference coming up.
I appreciate you having me on, Terry, to share about our Rise Up, O Men of God, the Church for You Does Wait Super Saturday Conference, and it's Saturday, March 28th in Covina at Sacred Heart Catholic Church, 344 West Workman Street in Covina, California.
Who are the speakers?
We have some great speakers lined up. We have Steve Ruta, former captain of the LA Fire Department. He's dynamic. Mm-hmm. He's energetic. He will really keep the conference moving. We have Monsignor Tim Nichols, the pastor from St. John Vianney's.
Oh, yeah,
he's dynamic. Mark McElrath, Father Darren Merlino, a trained exorcist. Charlie Eshelman, a past Navy SEAL. We have Deacon Omar Uriati, who is from our parish, St. Louis de Marillac, and Father Joseph Shea.
And I'll be there myself, giving a little plug for Virgin Most Powerful.
You can reach us at catholicmen.org. Tickets are on sale there. Just follow the link. Tickets are on sale at eventbrite.com. Just be sure to get your tickets now till the 31st for $35, and $45 after that till the day of the conference.
Sign up for this men's conference. Call Gil at 626-841-9090.
I'll be sure to answer your call and give you all the information you need for the Rise Up, O Men of God, for you, the Church Does Wait conference. Thank you, Terry. Appreciate your help.
God bless you. This is Terry Barber. I want to thank you for your support here at Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Here's an easy way to do it. If you're going to sell or buy a house, call Real Estate for Life, 877-543-3871, because they're going to get you a Christ-centered agent to purchase your home or to sell your home. And at the close of escrow, a portion of his commission goes right back to Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Call 877-543-3871. Thank you so much for your support.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Why does the world need Archbishop Fulton Sheen? There's a world-renowned expert, a Fulton Sheen scholar. His name is Dr. Howard.
Yep.
Dr. Peter Howard. In fact, he's the founder of the Fulton Sheen Institute. And he was interviewed, and he told us why we need Fulton Sheen. The first question says it all. So he's asked, Dr. Howard, within a three-week period, we moved from the joyful announcement that Pope Francis had approved Archbishop Sheen's beatification to the surprising announcement that the Diocese of Rochester had requested and been granted an indefinite delay of the beatification. Would you cast some light on the matter for our readers and explain what will likely happen next? Okay. Dr. Peter Howard says this. First, we need Sheen now more than ever. And this current saga over his beatification only confirms that he is the general, military language, the general the church in America needs in this critical hour. And the devil does not want that. The facts of Sheen's cause are the following. Sheen's life has already undergone the most exhaustive investigation conducted by the highest levels of the church in conjunction with the Diocese of Peoria. The conclusion, in 2012, Fulton Sheen was declared to have lived a life of heroic virtue and worthy of the title Venerable in 2012. Well, since that time, the Congregation of Saints has approved a miracle that was attained through Fulton Sheen's intercession, a miracle authenticated by Pope Francis himself, which cleared the way for Sheen to be beatified, declared blessed by the church. And the liturgy that was scheduled originally for December 21st, 2019, was simply the occasion to proclaim what the church had already declared as a fact. Well, that being the case, what followed afterward by the Diocese of Rochester and then by Rome is perplexing. Monsignor James Cruz, Vicar General of the Diocese of Peoria, has presented the facts and history surrounding Rome's unprecedented decision to subordinate and surrender its own completed and adjudicated investigation of Sheen's episcopal leadership to secular authorities. The history recounted by Monsignor Cruz rather clearly points to certain U.S. bishops sabotaging the cause of Fulton Sheen at every pivotal advance. So what will happen next? Rome will wait for the release of the New York AG report on the Diocese of Rochester and confirm what it already knew, that Sheen's administrative record was clean and the beatification will be rescheduled, provided the Diocese of Rochester doesn't try another obstructionist stunt.
Well stated, well stated. Next question they ask. Archbishop Sheen seems to have gained an incredible popularity among Catholics in their 20s and 30s, a generation who never heard him on the radio or viewed his life of worth living airing on ABC. To what do you attribute that phenomenon? Dr. Howard, the young want to know how the church and the world has arrived at what Sheen calls this apocalyptic moment in history. The world has abandoned God and as a result has completely lost the sense of reality. That's so true. This younger generation is crying out. They are. Is there anyone out there who has clear answers to the dark night of reason in the world and the vacuum of holiness and leadership that is in the church? Boy, that's what they're crying out. Yes, we do. Well, into this intellectually, morality, and spiritually bankrupt civilization, God sends Fulton Sheen as a prophet for our time. Sheen provides the blueprint to lead the world, especially the church in America, back to God and help this broken and wounded civilization discover anew what it means to be human, made in the image of God. Jesse, this is so beautiful because I've experienced this for 40 years. The younger generation are searching for purpose, and Sheen addresses them with clarity. You're one of those people, Jesse Romero.
I'm a victim of falling under the teachings. I wouldn't be here right now.
That's right.
I would be a retired cop, probably dropping, you know, saying bad words and drinking and stuff, yeah, and carousing, if I didn't run across a 50 cassette,
yep,
tape set called, yep, Life is Worth Living from Fulton Sheen,
yep,
30 years ago. Completely rocked my world. I was searching for truth, never finding it in the Kumbaya Catholicism of Southern California. And when I heard that, I said, wow, there's a reason to live now.
And Jesse, people can still get that. I've been promoting that for over 40 years by just calling 877-526-215. And we have it on an MP3 disc and also a Catholic video that goes with it. Jesse, this article, we're going to run out of time, but showing that young people are looking for the truth, and Fulton Sheen consistently, I know so many young priests today that are priests today because of Fulton Sheen. Matter of fact, I know a guy who's retiring at age 75 when he was 14. He read a Bishop Sheen book in a communist country. It was contraband, and he got to become a Catholic and a Catholic priest today. This foundation is phenomenal. Jess, do we have more time to continue on this?
Yeah, we got about 6 minutes.
Okay, let's continue. Okay, so here's what happened to this man in his own mid-20s. Like Jesse Romero, he found the meaning and purpose of life. Let's go to the question about both the church and the nation Sheen loves so dearly are passing through times of great strife and confusion. You think? In the nutshell, they said, what would Sheen's prescription be for our problems today, Jesse? Hit it.
Dr. Howard says, well, Sheen first had to diagnose the malady.
Yep.
And it boils down to civilization rejecting God.
Yep.
Catholics progressively leaving their moral, spiritual, and missionary Christian duties unfulfilled.
Yep.
And then trying to build a new and false humanity and world order in which man has sought to remake God in his own image. As a result, humanity has become completely disordered in body, mind, and spirit. And for America in particular, Sheen emphasized, it has a spiritual void over which today's cultural battle is being fought. America must rediscover its soul, find its true heart, and return to its Christian roots, or its end is imminent. Sheen's prescription for building the church and for America to find its soul is threefold. The first is anthropological.
Mm-hmm.
The church and nation must rediscover what it means to be made in the image of God. The second is philosophical. The church and America must reject atheism and materialism of Marxism in all its forms because it's progressively and contaminated all aspects of American society. The third solution is spiritual.
Yep.
The Declaration of Independence and the Constitution created a spiritual vacuum that had to be filled. The Catholic Church needed to step in and fill it, but did not really begin to do so until Fulton Sheen, who was emphatic that the church in America, priests and laity alike, needed to be rebuilt upon the spiritual foundations of adoration of Jesus in the Eucharist and a true devotion to Mary. Sheen lived these through his daily commitment to the Eucharistic Holy Hour, his lived consecration to Mary's Immaculate Heart, and daily recitation of the Holy Rosary. In other words, Dr. Howard saying,
yep,
the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence, though they are the best documents ever written by a government, it's not enough. The people must return to God, and the Catholics specifically, because we're the moral conscience of society, we've got to return to holy hours, the Eucharist, and the daily rosary so that we can augment the good, sound instruction from the Constitution and Declaration of Independence that calls us to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Notice, life comes first.
Amen. And, you know, Bishop Sheen led by example. He had 60 years of daily holy hours, and he asked you and I, the clergy, to do the holy hour. We especially need that. Think about our first segment today. Last comment from Dr. Howard's question is this. In the most in-depth study of Sheen's Mariology to date, with the Marian title of co-redemptress recently in the news, how did Sheen's insights serve the church perennial desire to better understand Our Lady's role in our lives? Well, Dr. Howard says Sheen's understanding and teaching of the role of the Blessed Mother, it's refreshing because it's profoundly biblical and intimately personal. It's the world's first love. That's this great book on Our Lady. The more we understand the Blessed Mother in terms of her relationship to God, that's the key, what he just said. The more we understand about her relationship to us, and more that we are more connected, we find ourselves in love and care of us. For example, co-redemptress is a rich theological term which literally means a woman who is, are you ready, a co-worker in God's plan of redemption. In other words, a woman who co-redeems. This is a loaded theological subject. However, it can be simply understood as Sheen's explains it to one of two ways. Number one, the first is to relationship to what took place at the Annunciation. God asked Mary to give him a human nature by which, through which he would suffer, die, and redeem humanity. From that moment, Mary became inseparable to God's plan in redeeming humanity and therefore God's unique co-redemptress. That is so simple.
Pretty simple.
Jesse, you know what? This is what we need today. We only have a couple minutes. Let's wrap it up, Jess.
Yeah, Sheen was also big on, you know, saying that as Adam's physical generative powers to increase the human race were united inseparably to Eve.
Makes sense.
Thor, the divine generative and redemptive powers of Christ, the new Adam, united completely and inseparably to Mary, the new Eve. And Christ called her woman at the cross to make this reality clear. At the cross, Mary mystically assumes the role as the mother of all who partake in the new humanity. And Christ's historical life began when the Holy Spirit mystically united himself to Mary at the Annunciation. Here's the good news. Dr. Howard, he's taking this the Fulton Sheen Institute.
Yep.
And he's making it part of his mission. He wants to take Archbishop Sheen's wisdom and wit directly to the people.
Yep.
And so he's doing parish missions.
Awesome.
He's doing conferences.
Great.
He is the Sheen expert. And I'll tell you what I like here, what he says in the second paragraph. It says that Fulton Sheen is a saint for our times. He's a saint for our world. But right now, the Fulton Sheen Institute is especially focused on the United States.
Yep.
He says it's here that he's given his special mission, and Catholic Americans must understand why. Dr. Howard says, I'm very excited to announce that the key event offered by the Fulton Sheen Institute in 2020 is, quote, Visions of Our Future, Fulton Sheen's Plan for a Great America, close quote.
I love it.
And this event is an engaging three-hour event that goes right to the heart of the cultural war in America today. So, Terry, Dr.
Awesome.
Howard is bringing back Sheen's wisdom
yep.
to try to make America great again through the Catholic faith.
And it's FultonSheen.institute. You can go to that website. Wow, I'm so glad to hear that. He says, what's wrong with the world? How do we fix it? How do we rebuild our nation, our church upon the culture of life? It's based on the full truth about God, man, and creation. As Fulton Sheen put it, in this error-infested world, we need is a church and the authority that's right. Not right when the world is right, but one that is right when the world is wrong. Jesse, what state should we be living in, brother?
Let's live in a state of grace. Don't live in a state of mortal sin. And let's remember the Crusader's cry. Christ conquers. Christ reigns. Christ commands. And for those of you that are feeling a little bit stressed out, don't feel stressed out. St. Father De Pio tells us, he says, pray, hope, and don't worry. Worry's useless. God is merciful, and he will hear your prayer.
Up next, Dr. Ed Mazza. Thank you.
St. Faustina's Prayer for Priests. O my Jesus, I beg thee on behalf of the whole church, grant it love and the light of thy Spirit, and give power to the words of priests, so that hardened hearts might be brought to repentance and return to thee, O Lord. Lord, give us holy priests. Thou thyself maintain them in holiness. O divine and great High Priest, May the power of thy mercy accompany them everywhere and protect them from the devil's traps and snares, which are continually being set for the souls of priests. May the power of thy mercy, O Lord, shatter and bring to naught all that might tarnish the sanctity of priests. For thou canst do all things. Amen. Virgin most powerful, pray for us.
Virgin Most Powerful Radio, sharing the gospel with clarity and charity.